the Dugout with Chris Pringle.
I'm in the dugout with Lydia Bedford, the FA Elite Women's Coach Developer for the East. Welcome, Lydia. Welcome to Cambridgeshire.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you again. So you were the Technical Directorate at the Football Association.
Yep.
What exactly does that involve?
So my job involves overseeing the ACC Advanced Coaching Centre pathway across the whole of the East of England. So I have five advanced coaching centres that I go out and visit on a fairly regular basis to try and support the coaches and the players to develop.
So you're our technical director at the Advanced Coaching Centre, a regular visitor to Cambridgeshire, so it's great to see you again. What are you doing this evening at the coaching centre?
So tonight I'm going to be watching one of the female coaches, Katie Quinlan, deliver a session with the under-12s. She's part of our coach development programme that we've launched this season. So she applied to be part of that, which was a really big thing around the country for coaches that wanted to push on in our pathway. And as part of that, she gets support visits from me and opportunities for me to give her feedback on her coaching to help to see how she can develop that and push the players on more.
So the centre's not just about developing players, but also critically about developing coaches as well?
Yeah, it's really important that we've got the best coaches working with the best players. So part of our job is obviously to make sure the players progress, but they're not going to progress unless we've got good coaches that understand the pathway and how to progress those players and push them on.
And do you think there's an opportunity as well to share some of that knowledge and expertise into club coaches as well?
Yeah, definitely. So the highest level of the pathway for us in the East of England is the regional camps. So on our last regional camp, we invited down some of the grassroots coaches to that level just to have a look at the best players playing in that environment to see if that could support them when they develop the players away from camp. We always make sure that when we give feedback to the ACCs on the players that are at our regional camps, that we make sure that that gets fed back to grassroots coaches too, because ultimately they see the players as much as we do.
So girls and women's is a big part of what we do at CAMS FA, and the growth we've had in the last 5 years has been fantastic. How important do you think the Girls Advanced Coaching Centre is in the future development of the female game?
The Advanced Coaching Centre is crucial to the pathway, especially in the East of England. Over the past kind of 10, 15 years, we've seen very few players progress in the international setup from this area. So the Advanced Coaching programme allows us to attract girls that aren't just wanting to play in a centre of excellence, which is what happens in the rest of the country, but girls that are playing in mixed football as well. And previously, those players couldn't access our pathway at all. So by opening this pathway up in this region, we're allowing players that previously we might have missed come into the pathway and develop. It's crucial that they're involved, because the longer they're involved in the pathway, the more chance they've got of being successful as they develop.
Well, it's the first season and already we've got some girls progressing from our centre into regional camps and national camps. How far do you think we are from maybe having a player from the East or even Cambridgeshire playing for England?
For the seniors? Well, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that over the next 10 years that will be something which changes. We're definitely seeing more come through. I think one of my biggest excitements over the pathway this year is seeing more and more players go from the regional camp into under 16 camps or under 15 camps. We had a player from Norwich just in February half term that's an under 14. She attends National Performance Camp and she got selected for an under 15 England camp at 14. So the players are out there. It's just a case of finding them and making sure that we progress them through the pathway.
Let's hope you see one of them tonight at our ACC.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Just thinking about, as well, Lydia, about how it all started for you, when you sort of first got involved in football, when you first kicked a ball, how did you get involved in the game?
So my dad's an AFC Wimbledon fan, the old Wimbledon as they were.
Back at Plough Lane.
Yeah, so that was my first ever game that I watched. And I think it's just, for me, it was like a natural thing growing up. My sister's not particularly sporty. I ended up being very sporty, but my parents encouraged me to do anything I wanted. And I played football in primary school. My parents made me move house in, or made me, they moved house in year five when I was younger. And like my first question was, can I join the boys team at this new school? It was one of the first things they asked when we walked in to see the new head. But for me, football kind of took a back step when I went to secondary school. My parents are really religious and church was what Sundays were about. So I didn't really play for anybody. I played for the school, which was probably what kept me involved in the game. Did loads of other sport that was more easily accessible. And then when I went to university, trialled for the women's football team, and it kind of took off from there pretty quickly. I was at uni for 4 years, and over that time did my level one, level two, and by the time I finished, just got my B licence. So played during that time as well, but realised within a kind of year of leaving university that coaching was probably the better pathway for me, and tried to focus my energy into doing as much as I could in that realm.
So you decided quite early that coaching was the route for you, and it sounds like you were really determined and driven to to get through those badges as well. How quick was that then, that sort of deciding, right, I'm going to start some coaching to getting your B licence?
Again, it kind of just happened in the sense that I was doing a teaching degree at Brunel University, which was a four-year QTS degree. So every year we went in and did placements at different schools. But because it was quite a drawn-out process over 4 years, I had a lot of time on my hands. And because I was playing football and my university coach had a grassroots team and just said to me and another girl, a level one just happened in our first year. They said, oh, go on it. And if you go on it, we'll give you some coaching work in the summer. So I did. So end of my first year that summer, I just started working with a grassroots team and worked with them for the whole of that next season, at which point, again, there was some funding for females to do a level two. So I thought, well, it links with what I'm doing in terms of teaching. I'll give it a go. And again, landed on my feet a little bit because at the time I just started taking football, playing a bit more seriously, enjoying Watford with the ladies. They actually got rid of me after a month of pre-season, but in that time had offered me a job at their centre of excellence. I was a level two female coach and they wanted someone to go in and assist their under 12. So I took that on, stepped away from the grassroots club I'd been at. And then over the course of that year, after a year of being with them, got offered an under 12 head coach role in my third year at uni. So it just progressed and naturally went alongside of what I was doing in teaching. I've always felt that coaching and teaching are very similar, and probably my background in teaching has had a massive impact on my coaching and how I go about doing it.
It's great that you had those early opportunities, but also they don't happen by accident. You obviously had that inner drive and determination to do it. And I guess over the years, you've come across quite a number of barriers. How did you kind of work through those? Because you must have had some challenges getting to where you've got to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for females coming through the pathway, I've been fortunate to have quite a lot of support, but there's so many barriers these days, just the cost of qualifications, having the access to be able to get into a club, to be trusted. I mean, I fell on my feet a little bit with clubs that gave me opportunities, but I know a lot of people that have had more struggles to get into clubs and have those experiences in coaching. And also lots of people that haven't had necessarily such positive experiences. I've always found that any negative experience I have had has always driven me to want to change that. So I spent a lot of time as an assistant at a senior club with a head coach that I didn't necessarily agree with how things happen, but it's always then impacted what I've gone and done when I've been a head coach in a club. So I've always tried to channel them to try and make a difference rather than just accept them as being something which is in the way or stopping you for the future.
I think that's key, that bit about sharing, isn't it? And sharing, learning from your experience. So it's great that you're able to do that. So you've done so much already. And I'm thinking about what you've done on the pitch and coaching and then your roles at the Football Association. What would you say your career highlight's been so far?
I'd say for definite, last season as part of my job, I get to work with an international squad. This season, it's the women's under-16s, but last season it was the women's under-17s. So I was able to go to phase two where they went to Ireland. And we had a really difficult group to qualify out of. And it came down to the very last game. I remember being up in the kind of tower looking down with the video analysis guy, and it was our result was almost irrelevant. It was based on another group's result. So okay. When our game finished, all the players were literally stood on the pitch just waiting to try and work out what the results had been. And I'm sat there refreshing my phone in Ireland. And eventually when it came through, the elation of all the players and staff to know that we'd got through to the Euro finals was massive. And then we were able to go to Iceland in June as part of that. So that was a great experience just to be away at a finals competition, which is something I'd never done before. But the girls did really well, so we were really proud of them.
Tell us a bit more about that match day and competition experience then of being in that camp and yeah. You know, that whole perception of being together as a group and the importance of getting on and what that experience is like for people who haven't shared it.
Oh, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, there's some parts of my job which obviously a little bit more average, like the admin, but there's nothing like being in an international game and seeing players develop and put things on the pitch that we've worked on in training. And some of the teams we come up against, like the challenge for the players to compete with them is massive. When you look at other nations, I was lucky to go out to Germany in October for a UEFA study visit, and their international players get weekly training. Every Monday night, all international players will go to a hub and do international training ran by the German FA. So in terms of the things that some of our players are up against and the exposure they get whilst our programme is massively developing and they're getting lots, what they're competing against is massive. But the environment on a match day is a special feeling. Like a year ago, I was able to stand with the team for my first national anthem. As an assistant coach, you normally go up in the stands and you're all mic'd up and you give feedback throughout the game to the head coach. But I was with Marianne Spacey for a Nordic Cup competition. It was one of her first kind of head coach roles before she went on to work with Mark. And she was like, no, come down, be part of the staff team and then go up. And that was pretty special. One of my biggest highlights of match day is fish finger sandwiches in the morning. It's part of the pre-match food and they've actually taken it away recently, so I'm a little bit devastated about that. But it was quite special getting up in the morning and being served chicken for breakfast at 10 a.m. if you've got like a match at 2 o'clock. But the preparation is key. You know, we spend a lot of time in camp preparing for the actual games, and the day before, it's not just what's on the pitch. It's all the preparation that goes away off it, speaking to the units to make sure they know what they're doing. It was really interesting. Last week, I went to an FA away day, and Mark Sampson delivered on how he'd like worked with the women in the World Cup.
And any fish finger sandwiches?
No, I think they've taken them away from the seniors too. I know. I'm going to campaign for fish finger sandwiches.
Lydia, we've got to do something about that.
But it was interesting because he alluded to the fact that when you're away at the World Cup, you only get a handful of sessions to prepare. So really, what goes on off the field is even more important than what's going on it. And the camaraderie that he built with the seniors last summer was something that I've never seen, I don't think, in any sporting teams that I've paid a real interest in. So it's special what he did, and hopefully we can recreate that with the youth squad so that they're ready to perform for him.
And I guess that leads us on to the future, thinking about how where we are now, it's light years ahead of where we were 5 years ago, even in terms of the number of girls playing, the opportunities to progress into national squads and the success at national level for our teams. Where do you see the female game in 5 or 10 years time, Lydia? How do you see us still on this trajectory of growth that we're on now?
Well, one of our aims is to win the Women's World Cup in 2023. So one of the real positive things over the last kind of 12 months is the change in terms of support from the FA towards the women's side of the game and the finance that's being put towards that to take it quite seriously and to make sure that the teams have got everything they need to compete at the highest level. But the pathway in general is just changing every year and for the better. And players these days have got so much better exposure than they've had previously and so many more opportunities. But I do think that's just going to elevate even more over the coming years, and soon it won't be a case of we find girls that didn't know anything about our pathway. Hopefully there'll come a point in the next few years where our pathway is known by everyone and it's really out there and there isn't any uncertainty over how a girl can progress, that it will just be accessible to everybody to be able to do that.
And thinking about our role as a county FA at Cambridgeshire here in terms of providing league and competition opportunities and then also the girls' centre, how important do you think the role of the counties is in this long-term player development?
Yeah, really key, especially in the East where lots of the county FAs are running the advanced coaching centres, that the responsibility being taken by the county FAs over the last year has been a massive thing for the girls' game. And the resources that you guys have and the time and effort that everyone's put into making sure the pathway works has been exceptional. So I think it's key, the county FAs have a real impact on grassroots football too. So just making clubs more aware about the pathway, and because you're driving both, there's a real link. Whereas previously, I think they've been two separate things, but working together, everyone's so much more effective. Hopefully we'll get more players coming through because of that.
And a couple of points to finish on, if I may. Thinking about being able to pick up and spot talent. So you must see lots of young players where people ask you, oh, you must come and watch our daughter or whatever. And think about a player at 10, what is it maybe at 10 or 11 years old that would make a player stand out that you would think, right, that's someone to really watch and maybe get involved in our centre?
I guess firstly I'd say one of the most exciting parts of my job is stumbling across a talent that nobody knows anything about. Like, I've been known over the last year when I was really trying to find players to cycle past parks and get a business card out and go and walk over to a coach and hand it to them and say, look, can you get these kids along? But
it's real talent idea, grassroots, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess one of the biggest compliments you can give to a girl, and I don't mean this to come across the wrong way, would be to say that they play like a boy of their own age.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not 10, but I picked up a girl before Christmas who's part of the Cambridge ACC who was playing for a boys under 14 team. I'd actually gone to go and watch one of our other Cambridge ACC players just go and train because it was her brother's team. 10 minutes into the session, she takes her hood down and I realised that there is another girl on the pitch that I didn't even know was there. So the biggest compliment I could pay to her was, 15 minutes of standing in the cold looking at their training session. I didn't know it was a girl on the pitch. And the way they move, the way that they impact, their technical skills, just when you've got a player who's got something about them which catches your eye, it's exciting. And normally it is that confidence and composure, and on the ball they just look like they know what they want to do with it.
Sounds like that's what gives you that real buzz in finding one of those hidden gems.
Really exciting, yeah. And especially when you then see them progress. So hopefully this girl we picked up before Christmas has now come into the ACC. She's been there for kind of 2 months. She's been to a regional camp. She's attending her second camp this weekend. So being able to get them in and watch them progress through the pathway has to be one of the most rewarding parts of the job.
So that sounds like our vision, doesn't it? Where we've got that genuine equality on the pitch for boys and girls, for coaches and referees in the male and female game. It'd be great to think that we're there in a few years' time. You've also got experience of working in the male game, Lily, haven't you? So you've coached at pretty senior level for a men's adult male team. What was that like compared to what you do in the female game?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I had to try and look for something to keep me kind of current in my coaching. The job I'm doing means that I don't have time to work in the girls' pathway anymore. So at the start of the year, I went to St. Neots Football Club, which is my local club, just to see what opportunities I could get involved with. I fully expected that they would probably give me the under 12s or 14s. But when they turned around and said, did you want to take the under 21s in a senior league? I was over the moon. And to be honest, it was one of the best things I've done in terms of pushing me on as a coach. I think there's a massive misconception that you'll get judged for your gender when you go into a coaching environment. But for me, the boys were fantastic, or the men, I should say. And they were only interested in if I knew what I was talking about and if that impacted them on the pitch. And the moment they brought into what I was delivering and what I was coaching with them, and they saw that the information I gave them at halftime had an impact on their performance, they completely accepted me like they would any other coach. So that was something which was really good to see. And for me, the first opportunity I've had, and hopefully one of many, it's something that I'd like to continue to do. As with all things, time is the biggest issue, and having the time to do it properly is really important. But I was really, really welcomed into that environment and felt like I was respected in terms of what I was doing. So it was really enjoyable.
That's great. So what's next for you in your career progression, would you say? Where do you think are you aiming to get next? What's the next step?
I'll always hold the kind of hope and dream that one day I could be England women's senior coach. Whether that's a reality, who knows? Like you said at the start, I've been particularly driven to get where I am now, and I just want to make sure that I'm working at the highest level of the female game. Whether that's a head coach of the seniors or a head coach of a youth international side, that would be my dream job, I suppose. But there's a long way to go to get there and lots of people to compete with. So I've got to keep making sure I'm at the front of my game to get me there.
Given what you've achieved so far, I really wouldn't bet against it. I think you've got every chance of going an awful long way. So that's great. Thanks for everything you're doing in Cambridgeshire.
Oh, thank you.
Enjoy tonight at the ACC. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me.